We will be studying from Ecclesiastes chapter 12 in just a few moments' time, at least introducing our study from that text. If you would like to be turning there, we appreciate the fact that you're here this morning, the opportunity that we have to worship together, as well as to have the opportunity to study God's Word together today. I wanted to just make note of one thing that was in the bulletin that's actually incorrect, at least for this morning. I mentioned that there would be a meal list as well as the cards that we normally have to advertise the meeting. And with all the other things that I was doing, I simply ran out of time this morning and did not get the cards printed. So I'll make sure that that I do that this afternoon. So we will have some cards on the back table that you can take with you this evening after services that will have the information and details about the meeting. And we'd appreciate and encourage you to take those to advertise the meeting and pass out to others. Also, as was mentioned by Brother Gallman, there are CDs concerning the singing last night, and I'm glad I was able to get those out quickly so that you can take advantage and take those. But if there are, if we run out, not enough there, then we'll definitely make more. So don't hesitate to take the last one. We'll make sure that we get others made if they're all taken. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, first 8 verses of that text, and I would remind you of previous studies that we've made in the book of Ecclesiastes, how that the premise of the book is life that is lived under the sun, life that is lived without respect to God. The proclamation in Ecclesiastes chapter 1 and verse 2 that such a life that is lived is a life of vanity. That life that is lived without respect to God ultimately is vain, because no matter how good your life is, in the end you're no better than the animals. You return to dust, as do they. And eventually any remembrance that might be made of you is lost, and any benefit that you had accrued in life is taken away. Any positive aspect of your life is no longer remembered. So life that is lived without respect to God is a life that is lived in vain. Now the 12th chapter of the book of Ecclesiastes is the beginning of the conclusion. You'll remember in verses 12 and 13, the statement made, especially in verse 13 of the text, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is man's all. That is the conclusion that the writer of the book of Ecclesiastes comes to with regard to the meaning of life. Why it is that we are here on earth. It is not to do as we wish, but rather to serve God. That's why we are here. So life lived without respect to God is a vain life. Life lived in service to God is the only life that has value. But the beginning of that conclusion is found in chapter 12 and verses 1 and following, where the wise man encourages the young to remember now the Creator in the days of your youth before the difficult days come and the years draw near when you say, I have no pleasure in them. So here we find a call to remember God early in life. And the reason why is because, again, life that is lived without respect to God is vain, and it would certainly not be an appropriate thing to live your life, the majority of your life, without respect to God. It is a wasted life. I don't know how many times I have talked to individuals who came to the Lord late in life, whose sole regret in the matter is the fact that they had not done it much sooner, because they recognize and see how much of their life was spent lost and without true value because they were not serving God. Notice the description that is given in the text, beginning in verse 2, of growing old. And again, this is the recognition as time progresses and as things change in our lives, certainly a life that is lived without respect to God as you grow older is a vain life. He says to remember the Creator in the days of your youth, before the years draw near, when you say, I have no pleasure in them, while the sun and the light, the moon and the stars are not darkened, and the clouds do not return after the rain, in the day when the keepers of the house tremble, and the strong men bow down, when the grinders cease because they are few, and those that look through the windows grow dim, when the doors are shut in the streets, and the sound of grinding is low, when one rises up at the sound of a bird, and all the daughters of music are brought low. Also they are afraid of height and of terrors in the way. When the almond tree blossoms, the grasshopper is a burden and desire fails. For man goes to his eternal home and the mourners go about the streets. This is a description of, in effect, old age. When an individual becomes much less able to get along in life. Their strength fails them. Their hearing fails them. Their eyesight fails them. They're not able to sleep through the night anymore. They become feeble. We need to recognize again that a life that is lived ends in such dissolution. We are told that the day that we are born is the day we begin to die, as the progression is inevitable. It is one that cannot be stayed. And while it may be that we can utilize our bodies to the maximum, and it may be that we can take care of our physical bodies, they nevertheless remain a temple that is frail, and one day will be corrupted, and one day we will lose our life. And so at the end of that time, if it is a life that has not been lived for God, what is there? What value is there in life? And so he says in verse 6, in conclusion to that phrase, remember your Creator before the silver cord is loosed, or the golden bowl is broken, or the pitcher shattered at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the well, then the dust will return to the earth as it was, and the spirit will return to God who gave it. Vanity of vanity, says the preacher, all is vanity. And again, you live your life, you live the entirety of your life, and it comes to that point in time when you die. And if you die without the Lord, if you die having not served God, then the life that you have lived is a life that is lived in vain. I have had on a number of occasions the unhappy responsibility to preach a funeral sermon with regard to individuals who did not obey God, who did not live their life in service to the Master. A very difficult thing to do. You spend your time trying to look at certain positive things in their life and to mention those, to be kind to those who have passed and to try to get some comfort to the family. And so you talk about what a good job they did in their work, or how they cared for their family, or how their family loved them. You may tell a few funny stories about how they lived their life, but all the time you have a sadness upon your heart and the realization that those things absolutely mean nothing at this time. Nothing certainly to the individual who stands at the judgment bar in the recognition that it is appointed for man to die once, and after this the judgment. And once his fate is sealed in death, that there is no other chance for him to become faithful to God. It is certainly a sad thing. All that is left for the preacher at that time, as he seeks to give some comfort, is to warn those who remain of the necessity of service to God, of the recognition of the importance to serve Him acceptably, and that today is the day to begin that service to the Master. And that is something we seek to emphasize in the lesson this morning as well. We want to point out that there is a time that is acceptable for obeying God. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 1, you'll remember the statement made, everything there is a season and a time for every purpose unto heaven. And my admonition to you today is that today is the time to begin obedience to the Almighty God of heaven. Today is the time in which we need to hear and to heed the voice of the Almighty God of heaven. And so there are a couple of points that we want to make, the first of them being heeding His voice. And I would like to turn to Psalm 95, if you'll turn with me there, to the book of Psalms, again, the 95th Psalm, beginning in verse 6. Psalm 95, beginning in verse 6. We'll go and read through verse 11 of the text. The psalmist says, O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture, the sheep of His hand. Notice, today, if you will hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion, as in the trial in the wilderness, when your fathers tested me. They tried me, though they saw my work. For 40 years I was grieved with that generation and said, it's a people who go astray in their hearts and they do not know my way. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Now we all are familiar with that generation that died in the wilderness because they were unfaithful to God. They could not and would not heed Him because they would not hear His voice. And he says here, the psalmist does, today, to hear His voice. Do not be like those who are in the wilderness. Do not be like those who hardened their hearts, but rather open your heart to the Word of God and do it today. Going over just a few chapters in the Psalms, again to the 32nd chapter, Psalm 32. I'd like you to notice another passage. Psalm 32, we'll begin reading with verse 5. I want you to notice the psalmist here acknowledges his sin before the Almighty God. He said, beginning in verse 5, I acknowledge my sin to you, and my iniquity I have not hidden. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. For this cause everyone who is godly shall pray to you in a time when you may be found. Surely in the flood of great waters they shall not come near him. I want you to understand the blessings that are promised to the one who turns to God. And again, you'll notice the statement made. This calls everyone who's godly shall pray to you in a time when you may be found. And I would assert to you that that time, again, is today. Today is the time when we should confess and repent of sin. Today is the time when we should acknowledge our standing before the Almighty God. And if there is something that is amiss in our life, if we have not taken the appropriate steps, become obedient to God, we need to do so today. Do not wait until tomorrow. If there is something that is amiss in your life individually as a child of God, today is the day that you need to confess and to repent of that sin and acknowledge that sin in the full realization that if the godly come to God in prayer, that God will hear them and that God will protect them. You remember in Acts the 26th chapter, as Paul talked with Agrippa, King Agrippa. King Agrippa's answer to him, beginning in verse 28 of the text, is, you almost persuade me to become a Christian. And Paul said, I would to God that not only you, but all that hear me today may become almost and altogether such as I am, except for these chains. So Paul, his desire was that all who heard his voice that day would become obedient to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, we don't know that Agrippa ever had that convenient season to become obedient to the gospel, whether he ever indeed turned to God. In fact, there's no indication at all that he did. But Paul's desire was whenever the gospel is preached, that those who hear that gospel, that they may come to him and be saved. And it is our prayer today, again, if you are here and you are not a child of God, that you not leave this building today, not leave these doors in that same state, but that you recognize and acknowledge your state before God, that you are indeed in need of salvation and take advantage of the opportunity to be saved today, because tomorrow may be too late. And then there is a final point I want to make concerning the timeliness of our day in order to serve God, and that is taken from Isaiah the 49th chapter. The prophet Isaiah in chapter 49. Isaiah chapter 49, and we're going to read verse 8 of the text. It's a text that is actually quoted by the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians 6. And so I want to tie the two passages together. In Isaiah chapter 49 in verse 8, we are told, thus says the Lord, in an acceptable time I have heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. I will preserve you and give you as a covenant to the people to restore the earth and to cause them to inherit the desolate heritages. And so I want you to notice again the statement, in an acceptable time I have heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. And God certainly does express His blessings to us. Of course, the application to the Christian, as made by the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians 6, is with regard to the mercy extended in the sending of His Son Jesus. And so I want you to notice, as that quote is given by the Apostle Paul in chapter 6, verses 1 and 2, an application is made by the Apostle. He said, we then as workers together with Him plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain. So there's the application that is made by the Apostle concerning that acceptable day of salvation. The grace of God was extended by Him through the Son Jesus Christ. The extension of the grace was visited upon man through Jesus and His death on the cross of Calvary. And so He said, we pray that you do not receive that grace in vain. Notice where He says, in an acceptable time I have heard you, in the day of salvation I have helped you. There's the quote from Isaiah chapter 49. Now notice Paul's conclusion, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. It is the intent of our lesson this morning to establish and to admonish everyone here today of the necessity of turning to God and serving Him now, to ensure that your life is acceptable to Him now. And that is inclusive not only of those who have never obeyed the gospel of Christ, but also those who may be among the people of God. In fact, I think the indication of 2 Corinthians chapter 6 is individuals who were children of God, but not living as they should. And He said to them that today is the day that you need to be right need to be acceptable to God so that the grace that God extended to you will not be extended in vain. And so there are those three points. Today is the day to hear His voice. Today is the day to confess and to repent of your sins. Today is the day to pray to God that you may obtain salvation. Now the second point that we want to make in the lesson this morning is the fact that though we are called today to serve Him acceptably, too often we do not fulfill the responsibilities that we have of using our time wisely in this regard. And so we want to talk for a few moments about the possible entanglements, the things that might preclude us from accepting today as that time for obeying God. And I would assert, first of all, that one of the things that comes is just that. Worldliness, worldly entanglements. And I would use Lot as an example. You remember in the life of Lot that he pitched his tent toward Sodom, an ungodly city, Sodom and Gomorrah. And in fact, the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah were visited in judgment by God and they were utterly destroyed. You remember that preceding that there was a petition made by Abraham, and there was a negotiation that was made, but there were not 10 righteous souls found in the entirety of the region, and so God determined to destroy that city. But Lot and his family remained in the city, and they were given warnings to get out of the city. But we are told in Genesis chapter 19 and verse 16 that Lot lingered in the city. And we are told that while he lingered, the men took hold of his hand, his wife's hand, and the hands of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful to him, and they brought him out and set him outside of the city. And so God was merciful to Lot, despite the fact that Lot was lingering. And you will remember that there were consequences, both with regard to his wife, who looked back longingly at Sodom and Gomorrah and was turned into a pillar of salt, as well as the daughters, who had been influenced morally by the ungodliness that was present in that city. And those worldly entanglements had caused such problems in the life of Lot. And we need to recognize that the same thing can be true with regard to us. There's a text in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 33 that I would especially like the young men and women of the congregation to keep in mind. The Apostle Paul there says, "Be not deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits." I want you to think about that. Evil company corrupts good habits. There are certain things that we as children of God need to be doing. We need to become habitually individuals who are engaging in righteous works, in the study of God's Word, in the proclamation of the truth of the gospel, in living a life of sobriety and righteousness. And yet it can be that because we are encumbered by the friendships with the world, involve ourselves with the individuals who are worldly and who are not living as they should, that we can be corrupted in the lives that we live as well. Do not think that you can be among those in the world, to be like those who are in the world, and to be untouched and unsullied by it. We are told not to love the things of the world, that those who love the world make themselves an enemy to God and to Christ. And we need to understand the dangers of worldly entanglements and to keep ourselves pure and separate from these. But there are other things that we might think to be a bit more legitimate. And I would remind you again of the text of Ecclesiastes, where when we talk about work and we talk about family and we talk about other aspects of the life that we would say have value, that are also called vanity, because those things take up our purpose in life rather than having God as our purpose and our service to Him. And I would assert to you that even family can cause you to stumble. That family cares can interfere and impede your progress as a child of God. And you must not allow such things to happen. You'll remember in Luke the 9th chapter in verse 61 concerning the call to serve God in that illustration. Another said, "Lord, I'll follow you, but let me first go and bid farewell to those who are at my house. I will render service to you, but I've got something that I need to do first with regard to my family." And it is necessary that we leave father and mother. We leave son and daughter. We leave our wife in order to serve God. And what that means is God must have first priority. We cannot allow even the closest of our family ties to interfere with the responsibility we have in service to the Almighty God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 32, I want to make note of a text there which has reference to a problem that existed in the first century. The Corinthians at that time were suffering a period of persecution. And as a result of the persecution that they were suffering, the Apostle Paul had some instructions for them. Now, nothing in this text should be construed as the Apostle Paul having anything bad to say about marriage, or even a discouragement of the importance of marriage and the sanctity of that relationship, as a husband loves his wife and a wife loves her husband. But there is, nevertheless, a fact which is true, that the entanglements that we have, that the relationship that we sustain in the family during times of persecution can cause us to stumble. And so at this time of persecution, the Apostle Paul was saying that it would be better not to marry. At that particular time, it would be better if you can stay single and not burn with passion. You can control your sensuality, control those temptations for you to remain single during that time of persecution. Now, why would he say such a thing? Well, notice what he says in verse 32. He said, I want you to be without care. He who is unmarried cares for the things of the Lord, how he may please the Lord. But he who is married cares about the things of the world, how he may please his wife. There is a difference between a wife and a virgin. The unmarried woman cares about the things of the Lord, that she may be holy, both in body and in spirit. But she who is married cares about the things of the world, how she may please her husband. And this I say to your own profit, not that I may put a leash on you, but for what is proper, that you may serve the Lord without distraction. There was that danger that there would be a distraction because of the care and the concern that you have for your husband and for your wife. And there is something that is legitimate with regard to this. One who is unmarried can give themselves over wholly to the Lord. Now, that's not to say that that many do that. But it is something that we can make note of with regard to those who are a celibate for the sake of the kingdom, those who are celibate out of necessity. The fact remains that this allows you not to be distracted by those cares that others have. It gives you an opportunity that others may not have, to fully give yourself over to the Lord. While it is indeed perhaps a burden to you not to have a spouse, nevertheless, it can also be a blessing and a benefit if you're given over to that work. But having said that, we need to recognize that when we have a responsibility to our wife, a responsibility to our husband, a care, even though we are given the responsibility to care for them and fulfill our duties, and that's very obviously the case, as it is indicated clearly in passages such as Ephesians chapter 5 and others, as the husband-wife relationship is discussed. Nevertheless, the first priority is and must be service to God. And even family cares may not preclude our service to Him. It's not acceptable for you to say, I would serve God, I would do what is required of me, but I cannot because even my family would preclude it. It is simply not acceptable to put anyone first before God. And then I want to make note of another thing, one that I doubt very many would admit to. Nevertheless, one, it is even problematic among people of God, and that is that sometimes it becomes inconvenient to me personally to serve God. And because I am inconvenienced personally with regard to that, I am unwilling to put my all into service to the Master. Reminded again of Acts 24, this time as the Apostle Paul reasoned with Felix. And you'll remember on that occasion in verse 25 that as Paul reasoned about righteousness and self-control and the judgment to come, Felix was afraid and he answered, go away for now. When I have a convenient season, a convenient time, I will call for you. And again, as we alluded to with regard to Agrippa, there is no indication that Felix ever took advantage of that more convenient time. And I would assert to you that it's wrong for us to say, not now. You never can say, not now, to God. God says to you, right now. And our service to Him must be rendered today. In Luke chapter 14, You remember again a parable that was given concerning a feast invited. And the servant was given instructions to go to individuals and invite them to the feast. And the Lord of the feast, He sent His servant at supper time and said to those who were invited, "Come, for all things are now ready." This is Luke 14, verse 17. In verse 18, we are told that they all with one accord began to make excuses. The first said to him, "I bought a piece of ground and I must go and see it. I ask you to have me excused." And another said, "I have bought 5 yoke of oxen and I'm going to test them. I ask that you have me excused." And another said, "I've married a wife and therefore I cannot come." I've always thought that third one was kind of an absurd excuse. "I've married a wife and so I can't come." Blaming the wife has been done through the ages, has it not? Fact is, none of these excuses were legitimate. To ignore or to reject the responsibilities that were given to the Lord of the feast. And Jesus Christ is our Master. And when He invites us to come to Him, it's inappropriate for us at any time to say, "Not now. I have other things to do." I know, I am aware of the fact that sometimes it is difficult for us to live a life for Christ. But the attitude that is expressed that, "Well, I can't do it now, but someday, sometime, when it is more convenient to me, that I will give Him my all," is simply without scriptural rationale. We cannot do it and be acceptable to Him. And so we ask as we draw our lesson to a close, how can we overcome such hindrances? Well, I would allude first of all back to the text of Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Remind you of what the wise man said in verse 1 of the text. "Remember now your Creator in the days of your youth, before the difficult days come and the years draw near when you say, 'I have no pleasure in them.'" So we need first of all to prioritize and to have youthful piety. Now it may be too late for some with regard to youth, but I want you to understand that today is the day. That it's inappropriate to put it off. That as soon as is possible, we need to begin our service to the Master. And it is through that that we can avoid many of the entanglements of the world. We can avoid many of the pitfalls of the world. You remember in Ephesians chapter 6 when we are told that children are to obey their parents in the Lord, that it may be well with you. That's the point. It's the first commandment of promise, that it may be well with you and you live long upon the earth. The point is this, that if you will serve God, if you will obey your parents in the Lord, if you will heed the instructions that they give you, then you will be blessed in your life. You know as well as I do that there are many who fall into temptation, into sin, and the consequences of their sin can destroy them. Some of you may have noticed last night that Kaylee was babysitting a little girl who came and visited with us during our singing. And I mentioned to her after the services were over, I said, "You don't have to worry too much about anyone asking, is that your little girl?" Because she was tow-headed with blue eyes, and that certainly doesn't mix. But I said, "You realize that there are girls your age that have children that age?" And she said, "Yes, Dad, I do realize that. I know 3 or 4 of them." That's where our society is getting to. Can you imagine such young ladies who, because of a temptation that overcomes them, because of a desire to fit in, or because of a desire and a lust that is present, that these ladies do that and ruin their lives? They become encumbered with burdens and difficulties in their life that can indeed have lifelong consequences and indeed can be ruinous to their circumstances. All because of their desire for a moment's pleasure. But if you start young, you can avoid those things. And young people, remember that. Avoid the consequences of sin by serving God now. Not being engaging in sinful activities, but rather living righteously and soberly and godly in this present age. The second point, subordinate the earthly things to the heavenly. I recognize all the responsibilities that we have in life. But Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. You don't have to worry about the things of tomorrow. He said, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. You put God first in your life. Thirdly, by careful living, overcome the hindrances to spending time wisely by living carefully, by being circumspect in your life. As the Apostle Paul said in Ephesians chapter 5, see that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time. There's the idea of time there, because the days are evil. Recognize that you need to be careful. You need to make sure that you live every day to its fullest. Now you've heard that motto, haven't you? The beer commercials have taken that motto, live life to its fullest, go for the gusto. That's not what we're talking about here. Recognize the responsibility as a child of God to make every day the best it can be in service to the Master. And by doing that, you can avoid the entanglements of life. Two others, be a consistent example before the world. As the Apostle Paul said, Colossians chapter 4 and verse 4, to be walking in wisdom toward those who are outside, redeeming the time. So we need, again, redeeming the time. Understand the responsibility we have always to present ourselves righteously before those who are outside, so that we might be effective in the spread of the gospel of our Lord. And then finally, overcoming the hindrances to serving God in this time, remember the brevity of our life. Understand that you are not given tomorrow as a certainty. That the only day that you have for a certainty is this day. The psalmist in Psalm 90 and verse 12 says, teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Only when you acknowledge and recognize the brevity of life, as the writer James said in the fourth chapter of his text, that our life is as a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. The ephemeral nature of life, the brevity of life. Unless we acknowledge it and realize it, we will not set ourselves to the task of serving Him acceptably today. But brethren, we need to recognize and understand that we can overcome all of those things that would nag at us and pull at us and say, not today, and instead serve Him acceptably while it is still. There is still time to do so. So we offer an invitation at this time, not knowing the hearts of any. And it may be that in response to what we've had to say this morning, that there is someone who is out there who says, today's the day that I need to become obedient to the gospel of Christ. We're certainly hopeful that that is your determination. If we can assist you in that, then we offer the water. It's available for you to be baptized. If you're willing to repent of your sins, confess Jesus Christ as the Son of God, because you are a penitent believer, you're one who is a candidate to be baptized, to have your sins washed away. We make that available to you and hope and pray you'll take advantage of today's opportunity. If you are one who is not in the Lord's church, not a child of God, or if you're one who is a child of God, who has been erring, perhaps has not been diligent in his service, who has not redeemed the time, and we can assist you in getting your life right, we offer the invitation. We ask that you come while together we stand and while we sing.